I love it. I love it. I love it. What goes on behind the scenes, by the way? how the dish gets made here on Jaguars today. Right up until the second we crack the mic.
45 seconds of chaos.
Is it like that in the newspaper business?
Yes.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, right up until deadline, and then you're not quite sure what's going to get cut out of that story.
What do I put in? Okay, that quote. Okay, send it.
Go. Right. Yes. And it's that quick. And there you have it. All right. Forget the mechanics. We're here to talk Jaguar football with you. It is a little bit weird getting used to the new home.
Are you guys streaming live right now?
No. We're not. And I don't know if we will be or not.
Ryan came in and kicked over a camera and said, I will not be shown on TV.
This is true. And
I even brushed my teeth this morning.
We should all agree with that sentiment for ourselves and but especially for Ryan, right? I mean, nobody wants that going on. I've been told various things that everything was going to be done streamed. I've been told that maybe it's only Jaguar-specific properties. We are more of a 1010XL creation, although we do make our home here down at the stadium. But the bottom line is today's the first day of the NFL season, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about expectations for the Jags this year later on. As is kind of customary, we'll go through and predict all the division winners, all the playoff participants, Super Bowl matchup, Jaguars official season record. We don't have to go game by game on that, but we'll spend a lot of time talking about the Green Bay Packers as well. And let me just throw it out there right now. The social media fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is twofold. One, tell us what you expect the Jags record to be, but also in addition to that record, make one bold prediction on something that will happen for the Jags or to the Jags or regarding the Jags in the 2016 season. How tough of a matchup right out of the gates, Ryan, in your estimation? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, arguably the best quarterback in the league, so there's toughness built in there, but for any team. But for a team that's got so many new faces on the defensive side of the ball, how big of a challenge is this on Sunday?
The biggest of the year. This is on paper right now. This is the best team they'll face. They don't play New England. They don't play Seattle. They don't play Carolina, other blue bloods of the league. So you start off with probably the best team on your best – team that you'll face, matchup problems galore in terms of a quarterback who knows how to pick apart a defense that maybe still be getting on the same page, and then two excellent defensive players in Matthews and Peppers against that offensive line that's played 23 snaps together.
Yeah.
But stranger things have happened.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Peppers, by the way, had a resurgent year last year. Don't know if he's going to continue in that vein or not. I think Clay Matthews is clearly the guy you got to most be concerned with here. You know, talking with Deshaun Gibson yesterday, Tony, after the show, it always goes back to we focus on Aaron Rodgers. We focus on these high-profile quarterbacks. It always goes back to stopping the run for NFL defenses. And he said, look, we're really concerned with not letting Eddie Lacy get off because if you think Aaron Rodgers is dangerous now – if you give him a competent running game, forget it. You never know what's coming, and he's going to pick you apart. So I think they're going to have a lot of success stopping the run this year. I think they're going to be phenomenal in that department. My question is, will they have enough to pressure the quarterback? But on the early downs, I think they could put Green Bay in some unfavorable down and distances.
Look, and it's something we've talked about all week to this point, getting ready for this matchup. 2 years ago, when Eddie Lacy was a guy that was going to a Pro Bowl, was that kind of caliber running back, this offense in Green Bay looked, you couldn't do anything to stop it. When they're able to run the ball, it is impossible, it feels like, to defend a guy like Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Nelson's going to be back on the field. How many snaps does he get? We don't know yet, but we'll see that. And if the running game comes back and Jordan Nelson can give them 30 effective snaps, well, now you got Aaron Rodgers more comfortable back in this offense with a running game around him, Randall Cobb more comfortable because he's back in that role that he filled so well through the first couple of years of his career in the slot, as opposed to having to be the man in this offensive passing game. So I think there are a lot of reasons to be a little bit wary about this particular matchup for the Jags, but they did stop the run really well last year. So you hope that they can continue that kind of success, get themselves in situations where they can try to let that pass rush develop a little bit. I think there are legitimate questions about how good that's going to be. You know, I think it's going to be better than it was last year, but how much does that affect the outcome of this game against the Green Bay Packers, I think, is a huge question going in.
I mean, they have a new center and a new left guard. Take advantage of it.
No doubt.
This is why you got Malik Jackson here.
That's your strength there, up the middle.
You spent a lot of money on those two spots up front, and just tell Malik, hey, blow things up it may not result in a lot of stats for this week. You're not going to get a ton of stats anyways, but it's going to get you into third down, and that's where you're going to make your money as an interior pass rusher. I think a positive the last couple weeks in the preseason, it looked like Cedric Marks had turned a corner. So you get him on the field in those pass rushing situations. And if Green Bay, you know, with Nelson, I think – if they put him on a pitch count, which by all accounts he's going to be, will that prevent them from going to the tempo they want to go in terms of no huddle? Or will he take drives off? So I think the Jaguars, when Nelson's not on the field, take care of Cobb. Davante Adams doesn't scare me. And
the guy who scares me is Jared Cook.
That would be the guy, because I think Richard Rodgers is also a good receiving tight end. So how much do they go to tight end? They're usually a base three receiver offense. So they're – and the quarterback is just so damn good. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to worry about, but it starts with number 12.
All right, we'll get into it today. If you'd like to get into it with us, you know the various ways you can do that. Again, the question of the day, give us what your prediction is for the Jaguars' record and an additional bold prediction for the season for the Jags, and maybe we'll have Tyler hang on to these and we'll look back on them.
I say that every year.
Did we do that last year?
Yeah. We did a bold prediction.
I know we did a bold prediction. Did we review them?
Yeah, we reviewed all the playoff teams.
We should review the show that we reviewed them on. Oh, the playoff teams we did, right.
Yeah.
Amongst us, right. But I want to see people's bold predictions and how far they're willing to stick their necks out and see what actually transpires and what comes true for them this year. 641-1010, the number if you'd like to get in on the phone lines. That's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at Ryan O'Halloran and the Jaguars Today. Facebook page is up and open for business this morning. Jaguars Today live for the first time in the brand new Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio down here at Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The message to our team is about grit, and because this team has been behind in some games, you know, early in games like the Carolina game, and then they come roaring back in the second half. They have that. You can see multiple games where they've done that. So it's like, okay, hey, let's come out strong and have a good couple stops. Okay, that's good, but, you know, it's 60 minutes because this team can get on a roll. So it's more of that message, that we're going to need this effort throughout. It's a very explosive offense.
All right, there you go, Jaguars
today. Something better than that.
You're not happy with the message to the team.
Just never use the word grit.
How come?
Because that's built in, man. You don't get here without having some toughness.
Okay.
You know, it's just...
Is grit more than toughness? Is it
mental toughness?
Stick-to-itiveness? I don't know.
I was very underwhelmed by that comment.
All right. What would you have preferred? Channel what Gus Bradley should have said to the
team.
We're
going out there in front of our home fans who forked over their dough for these tickets, and we're going to kick some ass.
Okay. That's simple. Done. Season message in 5 seconds delivered by Ryan O'Halloran. That's all you guys need.
Yeah, my next one would be...
solid job.
Packers got a problem here Sunday. It's called the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right. Well, I don't know why you needed to even go that far. You'd already covered all the bases with your first commentary.
It's called humidity.
what do you think they're saying behind closed doors, Ryan? I know don't know because they're closed. No, what? No. Seriously, not talking about this week specifically, but just I got to believe that they feel like this is by far the most talent they've had since Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley have been here. And really, institutionally, I was talking about Prisco before the show this morning. We're kind of going back. He thinks maybe the best collection of offensive talent they've had since 1999 in Jacksonville.
Well, I think outside those closed doors and inside those closed doors, it's a confidence that they're going to score points. You know, they can play top defenses, but they feel they can line up with anybody and win those matchups because of their skill position players. And because the most encouraging part offensively from the preseason is the run game had a pulse. If you can do that, that sets up a lot of other things.
Now, the new injury reporting is going to drive us crazy, but we saw Chris Ivory questionable with a calf yesterday. Do we know?
No, because that came out after we talked to the head coach. And then just a quick side on Jared Odrick's jaw. Mm-hmm. He was a pass drill, and he just got a, you know, the offensive
kind of popped
lineman
underneath.
Popped under his mask. So that's not an issue there. But on defense, I think within the walls of this, you know, behind the scenes is they're confident they're going to be better, but it may not show right away because there's a lot of rough edges that need to be smoothed out. How is Dante Fowler going to play? How is Yannick Ngakoue going to play? Are they going to be able to get a four-man pass rush? So there's still,
where will Miles Jack play?
Yeah, and there are still things that Todd Walsh is still trying to do. Is you still have guys lining up in the wrong spots because it's a new system, so to speak, not totally new, but they're being asked to do new things. And I'll give you Miles Jack an example. Two of the tackles he made against Atlanta last week in the first drive, he wasn't lined up right, but he used his athleticism to track down the guy. So imagine, you know, against starter-type players, that might have resulted in a bigger play.
Right.
But we can talk about Jack a little bit more after this phone call.
Yeah, let's get a couple calls in, and we'll get into Miles Jack and the rest here. And I know you got to go listen in on Greg Olson when he comes up at the bottom of the hour, but we'll check back with you later on.
They did not listen to my schedule request.
Apparently not. Apparently not. Let's go to Andrew in Arlington to lead things off here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Okay, yeah, I really wish I wasn't going first, but record for the season, I think we end up 6-10, unfortunately. And bold prediction is that Gus Bradley is fired by game 10. Greg Olson finishes out the final six as interim head coach.
Well, that's going to be a tough, bold prediction. If that happens, then you win a prize.
Right. Well, I mean, it's pretty clear-cut whether or not it happens or not. I don't see... It would take a lot more of a disastrous scenario to me than a 6-10 season to see him fired midseason.
Yes, because that would mean you are 1-9,
something like that, right?
I mean, 0-7,
right? Big disaster, yeah. And that's possible, but I think it would take something extreme to get Gus fired in the middle of the season. I think they're going to let him play it out this year, and. You know, 6-10, I don't think it's that far off from what brings him back. We're guessing on what Shad Khan finds acceptable. I think some of it matters how you get to whatever the record is. And I'm not saying 6-10 is good enough. It's not. It wouldn't be good enough for me.
No.
Of course, 5-11 wasn't good enough for me to bring him back this year, but I don't make those decisions. So.
Yeah, Dave Caldwell talked to the beat writers yesterday for about half hour. And he said his reasonable expectation should be that there should be a winning record. Well, does that mean is that an official ultimatum? I think he went further with that answer than I thought he was going to go because it was about Shad Khan expecting a winning record. But to me that tells you the GM is confident. He's put a team together that should win 9 games.
Right. I don't think 8-8 gets Gus fired unless it's it's 8-4 and an 0-4 December.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. You know, down the stretch. All right, let's get Gary on the south side in next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, guys. You know, and I'll call back if I'm totally wrong, but I'm going with Green Bay by a couple of touchdowns. Here's my reason. A great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers is, especially with Jordy Nelson coming back, you've got to be able to consistently pressure the quarterback. And I know you guys have mentioned it quite a bit, but it's just going to put too much pressure on the secondary to stay with these guys. You've got to make Aaron Rodgers uncomfortable, even if you don't get to him. You got to make him throw it early. That's how you beat. That's how Tom Brady's been beaten by a Giants pass rush over the years, by Denver last year. A great defense can make even a Hall of Fame quarterback look bad on occasion, and I just don't think the Jags yet have that ability, and I think it's going to be rough for them on Sunday.
It's so negative.
Look, I will say through the first couple preseason games that I don't think they were getting much pass rush in those games, but I was really impressed by their ability to cover on the back end. And so I do wonder if there are going to be moments in this game where the coverage, how much it has improved for them in the secondary, does allow that pass rush a little bit more time. And I think there is the mystery element of what exactly Todd Walsh is going to throw at Green Bay that they haven't seen, because I don't think they showed anything in the preseason that they're going to be showing to Green Bay. Now, whether that'll be effective or not is a big question, but I think the coverage was there. And if they can find some way to just manufacture a pass rush, and you only need to do it on 3 or 4 plays, that could be the difference in this game for them.
Yeah, and to me that's the big issue is you can cover a lot. We can't. Not even good corners can cover for 6 seconds.
Right.
So, you know, if you let a Rodgers get out of the pocket, so the discipline of the pass rushers is important. They can't be bunched up. But it's going to be fascinating to see what he dials up on third down, because I agree with you, is didn't show a lot, and I think the stuff he's shown was just to make other teams think about it.
Right.
So that, you know, how do they line up You know, do they put a lot of guys at line of scrimmage? Do they, you know, I don't think they're going to protect the sticks as much as Bullet Bob Babich did. But so that's one of my big subplots is how many guys does he send, but also what kind of games does he play up front?
Green Bay won 10 games last year, so they lost six, and they certainly won one on a Hail Mary during the regular season, another in the playoffs. The Hail Mary factored in, but most of the losses they had came to teams with that you'd consider having pretty good defenses: Arizona, Minnesota, the Carolina Panthers, the Denver Broncos. Those are four of the six losses right there.
Those are really good defenses.
Really good defenses. The Detroit Lions, pretty good defense. They held them down in that game. It was a low-scoring game in the teens. It was 18-16. So, again, an example of defense coming through. The Bears game is probably the one that stands out in November.
Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, they lost 23-17. But at that point, the team was kind of a little bit reeling. They had lost three of their previous four games and had beaten Minnesota just the week before in a low-scoring contest as well. You know, all these great defenses, I think it points to Gary's point. I think you do need to pressure Aaron Rodgers. If you let him have time back there, he will kill you. And he can extend plays so he can make his own time on top of that. Like you said, up the middle is where they're gettable right now. You know, so it doesn't mean it has to be Dante Fowler and Ngakoue and Audric and these guys coming off the edge. It can come from anywhere. Quarterbacks hate that quick pressure up the middle. All right, 6-4-1-10-10. Let's see. I think we got Harold next up here on Jaguars today. Good morning, Harold. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, buddy?
Good.
Man, I am jacked up for this game, I got to tell you. And a lot of people talk about defense, and rightfully so. It's going to be a big test for our defense. But for me, what I'm looking for in this game is, you take a look at Blake Bortles, the weapons we have on the outside. Your two starting receivers pretty much are known around the NFL for catching anything you throw at them. And it looks like we're going to have an upgraded running game this year. Of course, not counting on it, but Marquise Lee will hopefully give us the ability to stretch the field. What I'm looking for is to see if Blake Bortles can not necessarily go toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers, because we know that's a losing battle, but can we go score for score? And because there's going to be times where the defense is going to look helpless, and that's not a fault of our defense. Aaron Rodgers is going to do that to a lot of defense this year. But it's going to be, can we keep up with them on the scoreboard, and can we take advantage of the weapons that we have? And in my opinion, that's going to come down to Gus Bradley and what the offense does from a coaching perspective and how they coach the game. Are they going to coach the game aggressively, or are they going to coach it just trying to hang in there? And we'll see. But, you know, I think the Packers are going to win the game. I think it's going to be close. But that being said, I think everyone's going to leave out of the stadium Sunday feeling good about the way the Jags played.
No, I think it's possible that they'll feel good about the way the game's played, even in defeat, Ryan. But it's more likely that if that happens, it's going to be like a 31-27 type game where you did show you could go toe-to-toe. And I think most people who predict the Jags to win this week will have that kind of score in their mind.
Yeah, and the worst nightmare is 31-10.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think on offense, their mindset this week is they have to be aggressive from the hop because Green Bay is going to score. So, you know, Gus will never do this, but take the ball first because that's your better side of the ball. Get a lead and see if you can go out there on that first drive and make it 7-0. So, but you know, we want the ball in the second half.
You mock that, but
I'm 12-36. Something's working.
You mock that, but every coach wants the ball in the second half, the winners and the losers. So they all do. Belichick wants the ball in the second half, too.
I wish I was on camera there. That's my good sign.
I generally agree with that, too. This week, if they win the coin toss, they should take the ball. I'm not putting Aaron Rodgers on my field first. I'm not doing it. I want my offense because that's the strongest thing I got going for me. I want that on the field first this Sunday if I have the option to do it.
I hear what you're saying.
And that's my basis is that side is better than this side.
But you're just – to me, that's just assuming Aaron Rodgers is going to have his way with you all day then. I mean, if you're afraid to put him on the field, to me it's such an – if you can come out and put Aaron Rodgers on the field and get a stop – and turn it over. You are so far ahead of the game now because now you've got momentum from getting a stop. You've got the crowd behind you. You've got the ball. You can dictate pace, and you get it coming out in the second half. I'd still probably defer to the second half as far as that goes. See, you think it's being aggressive. I think it's being scared by saying I can't put my defense out there to
I
face Aaron
Rodgers.
I think
it's being aggressive because you're looking at the glass half full. I want my guy on the field, and I want us in the lead early.
We're going to be in the lead early when our defense stops Aaron Rodgers.
Is that a bigger assumption than the other side?
Maybe it is, but I'm just saying that you could play that assumption game on either side. It doesn't matter. We'll find out Sunday what they do. I don't think that's going to be the deciding factor in the football game. You're going to go talk to Greg Olson, find out what's
not
on
yet.
His mind. It's coming up shortly. We're going to come back. We're going to hear from Gus Bradley and others as the Jaguars prepare to take on the Green Bay Packers. We'll take more of your calls if you'd like to get in as well at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. Jaguars today back live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio at beautiful Everbank Field. This is 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Folks, the NFL season starts tonight. That's right. That means the fantasy football season starts tonight as well. FanDuel.com, they're up and running. They've had their week one prices posted for quite a while. Some great bargains out there as well. Guys like Dak Prescott, you can get them really cheap. You can get a starting quarterback for about $5,000. Every quarterback's going to put up some points. Many ways to build a winning lineup at FanDuel.com. How you do it, that's all up to you. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up using the promo code Mike. Deposit today. You're going to get 5 free entries to NFL beginner contests. That means you and first-timers are playing against each other. You get a free entry a week, 5 weeks in a row. These are 50-50s. That means you beat 50% of the players. You're going to win cash in those contests. Use my code Mike. Get those 5 free entries. And once you're signed up, play head-to-head with myself, with Tony, with Tyler, maybe even Ryan O'Halloran. Go to FanDuel.com/Mike to play in our listener league. It's capped at 250 teams, and it will fill up. So hurry up and get in. $5 gives you a shot at $200. FanDuel.com/Mike, and use promo code Mike to sign up. All right, if you want to get in, the way to do it, 641-1010. That's one of the many ways to do it, both on the phone lines and the text line driven by Duval Ford. Tyler passed along a note, said we've gotten some calls this morning about a music station bleeding into the FM signal. It happens. It's due to atmospheric issues, and it just affects a lot of stations at various times of the year in various parts of the country. So You've always got the AM dial, where I think we sound so much better anyway. Are you an AM or an FM listener?
I still listen a lot on the AM.
I listen exclusively.
It's a nostalgia
on the AM.
Type of thing, right? With the AM?
I don't know. I like talk radio more than I'm listening to music in the car. If I'm listening to music in the car, it's usually on a CD. It's not usually on a radio station. So I just keep it on the AM dial. There it is, 1010.
I like the sound. I like that little bit of grit in the sports radio. There's something.
A little snap, crackle,
and
pop.
Tyler may be right. It's probably nostalgia.
It may be. It's like listening to an LP, right? Something along those lines. Tyler's like, listen to a what?
Huh?
I don't know. Huh? What is that? We'll get to Gus Bradley here momentarily. Let's get a call or two in. In the meantime, our boy Short Dog is out in Gainesville, and he is optimistic about the 2016 season. Short Dog, how are you?
How you doing, Mike? Tony?
We're good.
Ryan? Oh, man. Just trying to clean Gainesville up from that storm. But other than that, everything is good. I just got to say a couple of things, and I'll get your take on it. We were a field goal or a couple of pick sixes away from winning eight games last year, right?
Yeah, if you overlook, if you're going to do that, though, you got to give the Ravens game back.
Right. Okay.
That's kind of why I say they were more of a 7-win team if everything played out the way it easily could have. But anyway, yes, they should have won a few more games.
Right. Okay. Just so 7 or 8 games, maybe. Okay. We didn't have the talent that the talent that we got now, we didn't have that talent last. So my thing is, I don't know why people are saying 6-10. I'm gonna go 10-6 because of the talent and, you know, Blake taking care of the ball and Mr. Myers making some clutch field goals, which I think it's probably going to come down to him Sunday making a field goal. And with that being said, Mike, Shane Graham is out there. You know, he doesn't have a job. Do you think that Dave should try kind of keep him in mind a little bit?
No. Shane Graham just got cut after missing, like, what, a 30-yard chip shot against
32.
The Jaguars.
Yeah.
Right. He's not any better than – they're going to keep Myers, at least for now. I'm not saying his leash is infinite, but I don't think Shane Graham is the guy.
No, and look, when Myers trots onto the field, whether it be for an extra point or a field goal on Sunday, we all know, look, I'm going to be joining you Jaguars fans when I'm going, all right.
Right. If it
here
comes down to Myers – I'll say this. If it comes down to Myers and he comes through, Tony, that could be –
It's huge.
It like wipes the slate clean, doesn't it?
Essentially, since it is a new season, I think. And Myers is one of those guys that, like most kickers, it's not like it's Gostkowski, right? If he went out there and missed a field goal, that was an important field goal. Well, Patriots fans now have 7 or 8 years to look back on and say, yeah, but he made all these, so we don't have to worry about it. And it's kind of the same sense that you get with the Jaguars in general. If Myers goes out and makes the big one this week and misses a big one next week, it's like, well, of course he missed the big one. Misses the big one. You don't remember the one that he made. He made one against Miami last year.
Right.
He made one against Baltimore last year. And the conversation is still what it is with Jason Myers. It's really hard to get over that kind of stigma. And I think that goes to why I say, if you ask me, as someone, I believe the team's probably an 8-8 football team this year. But if you ask me if I lean more towards 6 or 10, I just look at it and say, they haven't shown me anything that makes me feel like they're better than an 8-8 team. So trying to get in my head that this team is going to somehow find a way to go from 5 to 10 is a really, really difficult leap for me to make. So which one do I think is more likely? I think it's more likely that it's 6. I think it's an 8-8 football team.
I understand your point, but to me, Kelvin Beachum hasn't shown me anything. Chris Ivory hasn't shown me anything. Malik Jackson hasn't shown me anything.
Sure.
You know what I'm doing here. I'm naming all these guys who have no part of a 5-11 record.
No, I know.
Right? And they've shown me something individually with their play in the National Football League. And so I don't think they come in thinking, hey, man, how do we get from 5 to 10 wins? I'm not saying they have a specific number in mind. Hopefully they're worrying about one win this week. But, you know, that to me is the reason I think for major optimism. You just go up and down this roster, and like Short Dog said, they won 5 games with what they had last year. And, I mean, you know, if last year was a 1 on the scale of talent on 1 to 10, I'm not saying it was, but if it was, I don't know, let's say on a scale of NFL talent, 10 being the most talented NFL team you can imagine or put together under the salary cap era, what were they last year? 3 or 4?
Something probably
like
4.
That. Something like that, right? Because they did have some playmakers and things like that. I think they're like more like a 6 or, you know, something along those lines. Maybe even a 7. I think you look offensively, Tony, just at the skill position guys we were talking about. If they all play up to their capabilities this year, they're going to be potentially one of the top 5 offenses in the National Football League. You know, they could be, potentially, right? So, you know, maybe they're closer to that 7-8 range in terms of talent. You know, several pundits this year picked them as the most talented roster, most talented young roster in the National Football League, even over the likes of the Seattle Seahawks. So, look, you still got to go out and do it, and I understand your point. And anybody who doubts them because they haven't seen it, nothing I say is going to convince you otherwise, and that's fine. Because, you know what, unlike college football where we vote on it, the voting will be done between the lines.
They're going to play 16 games.
They're going to play, and that will be it. And anything we say opinion-wise won't matter to the outcome of these games. Here's Gus Bradley yesterday opening up by saying this was the most physical practice of the week as they get ready for the Green Bay Packers.
One that really straining on our guys, and boy, they took to it. We had a really good practice on bonus Monday and followed up by another one today. Now, there were some things that came up, but that's why you practice. So we'll be able to point those things out. But just the tempo of practice, you know, we had a lot of guys come in and lift on the day off. They're just really doing a lot of things right, off the field and on the field, their film study. So very pleased with how it's going so far. So now we just have another one tomorrow that we got stacking together.
Yeah, getting ready for Green Bay on Sunday. And Gus Bradley yesterday after practice also asked about his quarterback, who's going into his second year now in Greg Olsen's offense, and just how comfortable Bortles is.
You can really tell. Just the ownership, even with protections. You know, and that was a big emphasis for us. I know the sack numbers have gone down last year from the year previous, but it's a big point of emphasis. And I think when you own the protections and understand it and, you know, can handle it out in the field, that's a big part of it. And that's I really see that part of Blake as well.
Here's one of the things we're talking about. While they're talented, a lot of these guys are very young, and certainly the rookies and Dante Fowler in his second year getting the first NFL action. Gus commenting yesterday about his confidence level in Jalen Ramsey, specifically going up against certainly the wide receivers, but playing against the quarterback, a caliber of Aaron Rodgers.
We believe in our guys. You know, Jalen's a good player for us and has done some good things, what we've seen thus far. So he just needs to carry it over. It's going to be regular season, a heightened environment. But, you know, whoever you have, it's a challenge. He's a good football player. But, you know, Jalen, I mean, I know he'll stand up to the competition. And, you know, he's doing a lot of film study and watching it. He understands the task.
You know, a lot of talk here over the last couple months about Marcus Peters in Kansas City. I saw a stat the other day. Look, he had an exceptional rookie year. Intercepting 8 passes is unbelievable for a rookie cornerback in this league. He was also among the most targeted cornerbacks in the league. He's still a rookie. They're still going to go after him. And even a guy that was making plays, NFL team still said, it's a rookie.
Right.
You know, we're going to go after this guy. And I think Jalen Ramsey, even if he is successful early on in the season, he's going to see the ball coming his way a lot. And I wouldn't be surprised on Sunday if that is a big part of the Green Bay Packers game plan, is to go after Jalen Ramsey, especially in the slot when he gets matched up with a guy like Randall Cobb, who is just so shifty in that area. Now, the guy outside of him, Jordy Nelson, coming back this week, Gus Bradley was asked about Jordy and his return.
Talented. I mean, explosive. You know, he makes big plays for him. You know, their big thing, too, is they can max protect, hit shots on you. They can turn little plays into big plays because I think they're seventh in the league in run after catch. So they're very proficient there. And then the extended plays and the freebies. You know, they get the defense to jump offside. You see Jordy catch a lot of those plays. So he has the ability to, you know, every play could be explosive for him.
All right, let's flip it over to Paul Posluszny here. Gus Bradley talked about him, and Ryan O'Halloran's back with us. You were there with Gus yesterday. The question set up says, Gus talking about Posluszny taking a step in pass defense. Is this talking about him? Let's just roll the cut and see what it sounds like.
He has a really good understanding of the defense, and his pass coverage, I know when you look at some issues that showed up a year, 2 years ago, they're not becoming issues anymore for us. He has a really good understanding of the scheme. You know, if there's the speed thing that you're talking about, it's that experience and that wisdom of playing in the package now that really helps him. A guy like Miles Jack has speed. No one disputes that. And we're trying to speed him up as much as possible to get him out in the field because, boy, you know, it's hard to defend that when you have that. So we're trying to push that as fast as we can. We want to make sure that if he doesn't, you know, hopefully he gets some reps this week. If not, if there's something should happen at either one of the positions, he's the next guy. You know, we want to make sure of that.
What is the plan?
I thought that was a question about Telvin Smith.
No, it's about Posluszny. Right there. What is the plan for Miles Jack? What's the best guess, Ryan, for this week?
My educated guess is it's more likely he plays 5 to 8 snaps than 18 to 20. You ask a couple guys in the locker room yesterday about, because right now the game plan's in, so they should know. And they told me there wasn't a lot of change in terms of who was playing where on linebacker. And two guys said to me about Miles Jack, off the charts athletically, but not ready to play every down yet.
Right.
He's played 2 days at weak side linebacker.
Right, and it's understandable, too, because he missed so much time being part of that whole Pac-12 system. Couldn't come in for the mini camps.
Yeah, you flip it, Blake Martinez is starting for Green Bay after doing that, too, but different position, different defense, different experience level. So I think they want to get Miles Jack out there a little bit to get him a taste, maybe in a specialized sub-package. So, but I don't think it's going to be an every down, even a regular nickel roll.
All right, we'll come back. You can tell us if Greg Olson had anything interesting to say. We'll also hear from Todd Wash coming up along today as we go along. We'll make our predictions for the Jaguars' record and division winners, all that good stuff. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010, both the phone number and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. The question of the day out there on social media is this. Give us your prediction for the Jaguars record, but also one additional bold prediction on something that will happen for them, to them, by them during the 2016 season. So you can get into that as well, and we'll take a look at those at the back end of the show. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio at Everbank Field on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. You know what? Lunch still about an hour away, but maybe your stomach is starting to grumble a little bit. You know what you should have done? Maybe you should have had one of those Dandy breakfast sliders. Better yet, have two. They come in a nice two-pack for only $3. You're not going to beat that for breakfast on the go. Lunch on the go, Dandy's had that covered for over 60 years now. I like the tuna salad. Maybe you like something else. They've got chicken salad. They've got egg salad. They got every salad you can imagine. They've got the classic Cuban. So many varieties. The three-meat trio, roast beef. Just absolutely delicious offerings from Dandy. Fresh food, quality ingredients, bread baked here locally in the city of Jacksonville. It's a formula when you put it together with the price that you're going to feel like you got your money's worth. The reason being, you did. go to your local Kangaroo Express, go to your local Circle K, whether it's lunchtime, breakfast time, just snack it on the go. Anytime you want fast food on the go, but you want quality, wholesome food, Dandy and the Anytime Deli, go out and make yours a Dandy today.
And now, this date in football history.
Oh, it is time for this date in football history. Here we go. How about we're kicking off the NFL season tonight? That's what we'll talk about next year.
Boom.
But on this date in 1991, Buffalo Bills quarterback Jim Kelly had maybe his finest regular season performance of his career through six touchdown passes as the Buffalo Bills knocked off the Pittsburgh Steelers 52-34. September 8th, 2002, rookie quarterback David Carr, we remember him fondly. He threw a pair of touchdown passes as the Houston Texans knocked off the Dallas Cowboys 19-10, becoming only the second expansion team in NFL history to win their inaugural game. The other, the 1961 Minnesota Vikings. Famous birthdays for this date include, in 1945, Hall of Famer Lem Barney. The defensive back was a seven-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro, and was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1992. He is 71 years old. L.C. Greenwood, born on this date, longtime Pittsburgh Steeler defensive end, six-time Pro Bowler and a four-time Super Bowl champ with the Steelers in the 70s. He is 70 years old, born in 1946, born in 1988. Current Jaguar, Aurelius Ben, turns 28 years old today. Happy birthday to Aurelius. Whatever happened to Regis Ben, by the way? Remember when we wanted to be called Regis for a while there?
Yeah.
There was a stretch for a year or two.
I don't know.
I'll have to ask him that one day. 1990, Matt Barkley, former Southern Cal quarterback. Who just picked him up? Somebody just picked him up. He got
Bears,
whacked. Was it the Bears?
Bears practice squad.
There you go. 26 years old, still on the practice squad. And one-time Pro Bowler, and it'll be the last time he makes the trip, Tyler Eifert got hurt. And that injury to his ankle is carrying over into the season. And he is, however, 26 years old, born on the same day as Matt Barkley in 1990. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints agreed to a contract extension yesterday that will be announced probably as a five-year deal, but essentially it's a two-year deal with $44.25 million guaranteed. Brees will get $20 million of that this year. The deal got done just days before the Week 1 deadline that Brees had placed on the negotiations between the two sides. Joey Bosa missed practice again yesterday for the San Diego Chargers, making it that much more likely that the third overall pick will not be on the field this weekend when the Chargers kick off their season against Kansas City. It appears likely that Bosa will instead make his NFL debut against your Jacksonville Jaguars in Week 2. The Denver Broncos and wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders have agreed to a three-year contract extension. According to Adam Schefter, the deal is for 3 years, $33 million, with $27 million guaranteed. And tonight, Sanders and the rest of the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos will kick off the NFL season against the Carolina Panthers, the team they defeated in Super Bowl 50. That game kicks off in Denver tonight at 8:30.
All right, 8:30 it is. Yes, Ryan O'Halloran.
Two quick points. That Sanders contract sounds so weird that 27 of the 33 is guaranteed. That's like one of the best percentages you've ever seen.
As a player, sure.
Yeah. And then breaking news from Pat Kerwin, your boy, on Twitter.
Did he just say that Dave Caldwell has been named general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
It's just as good. He goes, defensive rookie of the year, Jalen Ramsey. Gus Bradley will love his ball hawking skills, and he's also a factor in the return game.
Oh my gosh.
Huh?
He wasn't a factor in the return game in college.
What?
So yeah, that was funny.
Is he blocking? Are they putting
maybe coverage? I don't know. We'll find out.
I doubt Ramsey's a core four.
Some scoop. Back Kerwin right there, core four guy. All right, O'Halloran, anything interesting from Greg Olsen?
Very high on Luke Jokel as a left guard.
Is he?
I asked him how he thought he did on film against Cincinnati a couple weeks ago, and you know, Greg said, hey, you know, everybody, you know, talked about the matchup. NBC showed the one of him getting trucked by Atkins. They didn't show the replay of him stepping on Linder's foot, which has helped him go head over heels.
Sure.
So, but he thinks that the athleticism will translate into a tighter quarters, and he said very confident in Luke Jokel moving forward.
See, I don't understand. Why do you need the athleticism if you're in the tighter quarters? You know what I mean? The athleticism seems to translate to playing in space.
Yeah.
And that never seemed to translate. Because
I followed up. I said, from a technical standpoint, why do you think this will work? I asked it a little more subtly than that. But he said that his initial punch is pretty good, so he can get into a guy's pads and right across from him. So one of the most interesting subplots to follow starting Sunday.
All right.
If this works.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, because if you ask any, I think, practically any Jaguar fan anywhere who's at all informed, that is the single guy they're worried the most about on offense and maybe on the entire starting 22 mm-hmm. of this football team. So, you know, I hope that everyone's faith in Luke is well-founded. I don't have that faith yet. It doesn't mean he
can't. Nor should you. I mean, there's no for people who aren't working for the team, there's no evidence for us to say it's
right.
Work.
The light has gone on. Maybe it will. Maybe we won't even be talking about Luke come
Monday. Nice.
It would be nice. But I'm not counting on it right now. All right, let's get to Todd Wash, defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars, spoke yesterday on a number of issues, including one thing we talked about early on. Aaron Rodgers, not only great from the pocket, he'll stand there, he'll manipulate you with his eyes, but he's got a great amount of athleticism. He can get out and extend plays. He will roll, and he's always looking to throw. Now, he'll take off and run as a last resort. He's pretty effective at it, but he will roll, and the last second he'll flick that 60-yarder on a rope to Jordy Nelson. Wash talked about the concern they have with Rodgers extending plays.
You know, the biggest thing is Aaron does a really nice job of extending plays. So, you know, a point of emphasis is we got to, you know, try to keep him in the pocket. But he is a great athlete with a strong arm. But there's a lot of their explosion plays that come from that. And it's only going to help them, obviously, having Jordy back and the ability to take the top off the defense. But, that, you know, that's a big concern of ours going into the game.
And it should be. I mean, Rodgers has been doing that basically since he got put in the starting lineup for Green Bay. He's been making those kind of plays, and he's only gotten, it feels like, more efficient year by year. And last year, as much as that Green Bay offense struggled, you pointed it out earlier, Ryan, 31-9, touchdown to interception for a guy in an offense that was struggling last year.
Lowest quarterback rating of his starting career, and he's still threw 31 touchdowns.
Right. He's phenomenal. He's great. I mean, he is a truly great quarterback. He is a no-doubt Hall of Famer one day, and is a just an absolute, you can't overestimate the challenge it is for the Jags this weekend.
No, and Todd Wash, talking after practice yesterday, also commented on Devon House, who's a guy that they benched at one point last year at that cornerback position. During week three of the preseason this year, they put Amukamara in the starting lineup as opposed to Devon House. Obviously, he'll have a big role on Sunday with as much nickel as they play, but Todd Wash was asked to comment on Devon.
You know, Devon is a guy that makes a lot of plays for us. Last year, I think he was, you know, set up some kind of franchise record or something with PBUs and stuff like that. So he has the ability to make some plays. And, you know, he's obviously going to be playing a little bit hot this week, you know, versus his former team. So we know we're going to get a real competitive Devon House this week. And we hope that we just get consistent play out of him, which we have up until this point.
Just want to, more breaking news. Jared Odrick has been placed in the concussion protocol.
Uh-oh.
He will not practice today. Took a shot to the jaw yesterday, so the Jaguars just announced that.
Protocol so, doesn't mean, I mean, that's
not ruled out for
right.
Sunday.
Standard, he could fly through the protocol with the flying colors, but would Tyson Alualu be next man up?
That would be my guess, and he'll need to play a lot, and then I think you move, then you give Avery Jones maybe some shot at a 4B, and also Chris Smith would move into the active range and maybe help you out there. So not great news.
Not great, but that
not
is
finale.
Right.
Final.
It's that's the unit I think they're the most confident in, you know, as far as that goes. Also, Todd Wash talking about his young pass rushers, Dante Fowler, Yannick Ngakoue, Chris Smith. You can include him in there as well if he's active on game day, and we'll find out, you know, how this plays out with Odrick, but Wash talked about the challenge that his young pass rushers have going up against Green Bay.
I think the D-line are tired of hearing me saying it, you know, and telling them the plan over and over and over. And but they're going to hear it for another three or four more days because it is a priority. And, you know, I realize we got young players, but I also like how they can run things down, you know. So we're excited about it. It's going to be a challenge for our young rushers, but we look forward to it.
You know, one thing, I wanted to go back because I just lost my train of thought a second ago. We were talking about Devon House, right? As I'm sitting there talking to Sean Gibson yesterday, Devon House, clearly the best guy they had in the secondary last year, from my standpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you agree with that or not. You look now, and I don't know how good Jalen Ramsey will be immediately, but you can make an argument for Amukamara. I know House is going to start over Amukamara, and certainly to Sean Gibson and what he's brought to the secondary with a Pro Bowl on his resume – I mean, that just goes, that to me, you look at the talent level rising, it's no more evident than it is in that position group that House may end up being the fourth best guy after a year after he's being the best guy you had back there.
Yeah, and if they start out in base, Prince may start with Ramsey.
He may,
so,
right.
But House is going to play a lot, if not start.
He's a good player, is my point.
And, and I think the further that point is, he's going to have more chances to make plays on the ball this year if teams don't really, you know, get away from Ramsey right away. I think they'll challenge him at the outset, but if he's as good as people say they are, maybe they'll start throwing Devon's way. But I think what's going to help, what's going to help House is the pass rush. If the pass rush is remotely better, he's the only guy on this team last year that was willing to take gambles on the ball. He got beat a couple times, but also, man, he had picks.
Todd Wash, getting back to some of his comments yesterday, just heard him talking about some of the young pass rushers, and now specifically talking about Dante Fowler Jr. Obviously, they had the conversation with him about the maturity issues that he has here in the last couple of weeks, taking him off the field, again, not getting that start against Cincinnati in week three of the preseason. And now Todd Wash comes out yesterday and says that they've made some changes specifically to his stance.
He's good. You know, as you look at him, if you looked at his stance when we started OTAs to all the way through training camp to now, I think we've changed his stance, which is good. It's actually even helped him get a better get off. And but you see him starting to really understand the package. You know, I mean, it was before he would be in meetings last year, but, you know, he wasn't getting the reps. And he's a guy that's got to learn on the grass, and he has done that. So we're ready for him to go.
I was hoping Wash would finish that statement. He was in the meetings last year, but he was sleeping.
No.
Right. It does feel like he was just completely disengaged.
Yeah.
Like, he may have been around, but he wasn't really here, is what it's starting to feel like with just the way the last couple of weeks have played out, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, he's been poked publicly.
Sure.
And maybe that's, you know, to me that means they've tried to tell him behind the scenes, hey, do this, this, and this, and maybe he's been slow to react, so they're seeing if another way of talking will help. But I think we all say he needs to be good right away, but I think just for his confidence, he needs something good to happen on Sunday.
You know, and look, I think we're talking about immaturity, right? I mean, a young guy learning how to be a professional, right? That's not a condemnation of Dante Fowler. It's a acceptance of where we stand right now. And, Ryan, I don't know if we talked about it with you. Tony, I mentioned this briefly already, that you've got a situation where he was benched, however you want to look at it, right? Publicly called out by his coach, saying he needs to learn how to be a professional more. Then he gets a 15-yard penalty in that very same game by coming off the sideline and running to the end zone to celebrate. And granted, it's a preseason game, but that's an example of what they're talking about. It's not about you. It's not about how you feel at the moment. What you do and how it impacts a team is what it's all about.
Yeah, and he just seems to be one of those guys that it's going to be two false starts this week. Doesn't recover a fumble the next week until he sort of gets his bearings a little
right.
bit. Because when he gets going, I think he's going to be tough to stop.
I would be surprised if Dante Fowler, going up against one of the best in the league doing it, Aaron Rodgers, I would be surprised if he doesn't have an offsides at some point in this game.
I think
game.
He'll have two.
Right. It just feels that way to me. And I do think it's interesting. I get it. It's a young player. It's about immaturity, and they're trying to get him over that hump, and he'll be playing his way into that hopefully in the season. But this isn't a franchise that through the first 3 years of Gus Bradley being here that has done this, right? They haven't called out players like this. And I think it is interesting that Dante is kind of the first real target of that kind of public chastising from the team. We just haven't seen them do it this way.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I criticized Gus 2 years ago because I think he called out Blake unfairly on some of the things that he was doing. But maybe it's more well-centered on Dante this time.
And be careful, too, because if you do jump off sides in this game, there's no one better in the league than taking advantage of those plays than Aaron Rodgers. So
don't let up.
Don't let up, right. Make sure that the referee is forced to blow that whistle because he eats you alive. He's basically playing 10 on 11 because you know what happens. You take that false step and you get back. All of a sudden, you're almost mentally taken out of the play right there. Right?
I would almost say against Green Bay, when you jump off sides, just go.
Just keep going, right?
Don't try to stop yourself. Once you're going, just hit whoever's in front of you.
Yeah, and pat them.
Right, because they're going deep.
Yeah.
They're taking a shot. What, no matter what the play was, Rodgers is going to try to get a freebie.
I'll take my 5 yards.
And he's really, really good at that. All right, we'll take a timeout here. More from the Jags, including Blake Bortles coming up on the other side. Plus, we'll go around the table and make our predictions for division winners, Super Bowl participants. What is the Jags record going to be? The question of the day out there on social media today is this. It's twofold. Give us your prediction for the Jaguars' record for 2016, but also one additional bold prediction on how their season is going to go. Maybe some individual accomplishment, whatever you want to make that prediction about. You can leave that up to you, but that's what's out there on social media. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ron O'Halloran here with you, back live at Everbank. Oh, after such a long wait, it is gorgeous in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. It's also week one of the NFL season. FanDuel.com has got you covered. If you want your fantasy fix, you got no better place to go than FanDuel.com. Use my promo code Mike when you sign up. You're going to get five free entries into NFL contests. That's one per week each of the first 5 weeks of the season. All you have to do is beat the bottom half of the field. Just finish in the top 50%. You're going to win cash, and there's no risk because those are free entries. Again, you have to use my promo code Mike to sign up, and you'll get those entries. And once you're signed up, we've got a great listener league going. Myself, Tony, Tyler, many others are going to play head-to-head. 250 entries is all we can take in there, and you can enter as many as three times. $5 gets you in. Go to FanDuel.com/Mike. Over $1,100 in prizes in week one in our contest alone. $5 gives you a shot at your share of that. So what are you waiting for? FanDuel.com/Mike. And if you're new to FanDuel, remember, use promo code Mike. Get those five free contests the first 5 weeks of the NFL season. FanDuel.com. Expand your NFL experience.
It's a Farrah and Farrah Thursday on Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We just have to attack them and hit them in their mouth. That's all to it.
You think they're going to try to do the same with their power running game?
You guys? I mean, they could do whatever they want. We need to hit them in their mouth, and that's all that matters.
Is that a pretty good week one test, though, to start a season, going down there in the heat playing them?
It doesn't matter who we play. We can go to Antarctica. I mean, week one's week one. So, like I said, we just have to hit them in their mouth, and that's all football comes down to.
Yeah.
That's the kind of speech you'd like Gus Bradley to
yes.
have given. Right. That's Mike Daniels.
They're coming into our house, and they're standing in our way.
Right on.
It's a Dennis Green thing.
I gotcha. The Packers who we thought they were. I don't know. People tweeted at me about this, and people get upset about anything. You know,
hey, man, whatever gets you up for the game on Sunday.
I don't even think that was like specifically like, man, they're not very good. I think if you had asked him, what do you need to do against the Chicago Bears or the Tampa Bay Bucks or anybody that happened to be playing this year, and if it happened to be week one, because that's the week we're in,
yeah,
he'd say the exact same thing.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I just got to hit you got to hit the other guy in the mouth and go out there and play football. We're not going to get too concerned about what they do. We're going to be more concerned about what we can do to them. I don't find that insulting or berating or any of those things.
Refreshingly honest.
Just how it is, man. I mean, I think they all think like that. I think the Jags think the same way. We're going to go up there. I don't give a damn about Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go get a shot on him, knock him down. He's a man like anybody else. You respect his ability, but football players go out there and play football. If that bothers you, I don't know. You're too sensitive.
Thin-skinned.
Too sensitive for me. But, hey. That's your prerogative. Be whatever you like, all right? Let's get to Blake Bortles. He is not thin-skinned, is he? No. He's going to talk about the challenge. I don't think he uses the phrase hit him in their mouth, but he is talking about the challenge facing the Green Bay Packers.
I think obviously the guys that they have up front, you know, and the big names and Matthews and Peppers and the guys on the inside, I think do a really good job. And they bring a lot of different stuff. I think Capers, you know, has obviously been there for a while and has been involved with different schemes and calling different things. So it's, I think it would be a good challenge, you know, kind of similar, I guess, in Cincinnati as far as bringing a lot of different stuff. You know, it's not the same stuff by any means that Cincinnati brought, but there's a bunch of packages that he brings different things out of. So I think it'll be good. It'll be a good week of preparation and a good test.
I mean, he has six safeties on their roster right now, so that sort of tells you what he wants to do. I mean, they run a 3-4, but very few times does he have actually three down linemen. So he runs a lot of diversity in terms of how he uses his personnel.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned earlier Blake Martinez, the rookie, going to be at one of the inside linebacker spots in that 3-4. But bringing him in allows them to put Clay Matthews back in that outside pass rushing position, which they didn't have him out there last year. He played in the middle a ton. So now you have Peppers and Matthews back on the outside linebacker spots.
Yeah, and my guess is that Peppers is going to be used like DeMarcus Ware will be used tonight, is you save his best snaps for third down, a situational guy. But like Mike said earlier in the show, a resurgent year last year for Peppers.
Blake Bortles, talking after practice yesterday, also talked about something we heard Gus Bradley comment on earlier today in the show, just being comfortable going into year two in this offense.
You know, I think it's a little different this year, you know, being in the same system for a year. Last year it was because, you know, you're learning the system and going against our defense at the same time, whereas now during camp and all that stuff, we were doing, you know, watching film on three down stuff, knowing that, you know, majority of our schedule is against three down teams, so kind of preparing for it and getting ready, you know, being a little more comfortable with our system, you know, as we were in installing it for a second time.
Is the next one, is there anything on comfort level with Greg Olsen?
Hang on, I'll
do not see one.
Okay,
no.
Well, I'll piggyback on that. What I wrote about in today's paper was I asked Blake, I said, compare week one Wednesday last year to this year. And one thing he said is they're able to get down to work quicker this year because they had the foundation set. And now when the play call comes in, he's not surprised by anything that comes into his ear because he knows what Olsen likes. They've talked about what they want to run. And I think that's what's going to allow them to be ready to go quicker in games and also in the season this year.
All right, one more comment from Blake. Let's jump ahead one here to his thoughts on the offensive line. He talked about Jokel and Beecham playing well together.
I think they've been good. I think they're continuing to work with each other and create that chemistry with those two guys. And I think it's been fun to watch. I think they're two guys, they want to be extremely successful and they want to work hard together and be on the same page. So it's been good to watch those guys work together and learn.
I think the key thing, and we mentioned it real quick last week, is with Jokel at left guard, it's just sort of the finer details. On one of the plays against Cincinnati that Atkins stormed through the middle, they wanted Jokel to get a better piece of him initially before handing him off to Linder. That little stuff blew up a play.
Right.
So I think physically you can think Beecham and Jokel already, but do they have a feel for how each other's going to work and with Linder as well?
Sticking with the offensive side of the ball, Julius Thomas, the tight end, also spoke after practice yesterday. And Julius is a guy that didn't show a whole lot in this preseason, but I think it's kind of like we talked about with Todd Walsh. Not sure how much they showed of exactly how they want to use the tight end this year. Obviously, a lot of young guys still on this football team, but Julius said, look, they can't be young anymore. It's time to get out there and play.
Well, I mean, you know, they're not young guys anymore. You know, you get to year three and now everybody expects you to play at a high level, not just physically, but intellectually as well. So I think you're going to see that maturation as an offense. You know, some of the things that slowed us down last year, we have to correct. And I think it's something that we will be able to do with guys coming back, being able to focus on different things that, you know, maybe we didn't have time to do. But, you know, we have to do better on third down, execute in the red area, stay on the field, you know, let our defense rest, sustain drives. It'll help us, you know, with our confidence as well as moving the ball.
All right, one more from Julius. You know, I can't believe that the heat won't have some impact on this game. If it's going to be, I think the forecast called for 91 degrees and plus 70% humidity on Sunday afternoon, and I can't believe the Packers are going to be as well adjusted to that as the Jaguars will. But Julius Thomas says you can't count on that alone to help you win the football game.
No, I think that could be an advantage for us. I'm sure that they're expecting it to be hot. They're hydrating and they're doing what they have to do to prepare for that. I don't know if you can prepare for Jacksonville heat. You know, it still takes a little bit of time even for us to get used to it. But, you know, we can't depend on the weather to help us win games. You know, if it's a little advantage, it is. But we have to focus on executing. We're going to have to win that game, you know, in between those lines, one first down at a time. So that's what I'm most focused on.
I don't think it's being talked about it at all by Gus, because he said before that if you talk about it and it's overcast and 85, some players might say, "Now what? Now what?"
Right. So.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey, the Jaguars' first round pick, getting ready for his first regular season NFL game, and not surprisingly, having been around Jalen now for a couple of months, he says it's just like any other week.
I mean, it's just another week of preparation, just going about it the same way I would anybody else. Like I said, he's a really good quarterback. They have some good receivers who can make plays. They play well together.
Cheer up, pal.
Wouldn't you like to just say, some guy to say, hey, you know what? This is my first game in the National Football League. And wow, that is Aaron Rodgers over there. This is going to be pretty cool. I think I'm up for it. This is a pretty cool moment.
And that's what Mr. Fowler was saying yesterday.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, especially Fowler. You understand. I mean, he's had it taken away from him for a year, but too cool for school, man. Aaron Rodgers, just another week. You know, I'm a rookie quarterback. Never played a second in the National Football League. It's just another week. However, he's so prepared because he's getting help from his teammates. He talked about specifically Devon House getting him prepared to play.
Everything. The technique that I had to learn when I got here was a little bit different than some techniques that I've used in the past. So he really helped me out with that because, you know, he had kind of some of the same issues with the technique, and he's picked along good, so he gave it to me.
Scintillating.
Said what?
Scintillating.
Scintillating, yes. Well, hey, look, he is who he is. I don't really care. In the end, go out and play well. If you play like it is just another week, you know what I mean? If your swagger is indicative of the ability that you're going to bring to the field on Sunday, fine. You know, if go out there, and maybe he's going to be one of these rare guys that comes in and he's just not fazed by anything. You know what I mean? And it's not that big a deal. And he plays great from the jump. I hope that's the case for the Jags. And if that's the case, say as few words as you like, right?
Sure.
Because that's a lot more important in the big picture.
He's got a swagger to him.
There's no question
when he came from Florida State. And I think that's kind of the first question you asked there, too, getting ready for his first game. I do think that's not like Dante is the guy that I would expect to be like, I can't wait. You know, that's Aaron Rodgers. I can't wait to get on the field. Like, that's kind of the personality he's had since he's been around here for the last year. And Jalen's been the guy that's like, Aaron Rodgers, okay. He hadn't played me. Like, that's just the way it feels like Jalen Ramsey carries himself. Now, hopefully it pays off for the guy. He's super talented. And if it pays off where that swag translates to him being the kind of corner that I think he could potentially be in this league, then great. You know, if you want to have that kind of attitude, it's great. It's if you get beat, then it just looks, you know, horrific for the young man coming out of the game on Sunday.
All right, how good or horrific? It will be horrific for the Jags this year. Will it be? We'll give you our season predictions as well as playoff participants from around the National Football League. We'll do that coming up next. Also, look in on the fan feedback spotlight, which today asked you what's the Jags' record going to be, and additionally give us one bold prediction for their 2016 season. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you live at Everbank in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars are getting ready for the Green Bay Packers, who come into town on Sunday. We'll have a chance to see some rookies out on the field, including Jalen Ramsey, who said he's got some help from the veterans around him, especially from Devon House.
Everything. The technique that I had to learn when I got here was a little bit different. There's some techniques that I've used in the past, so he really helped me out with that because, you know, he had kind of some of the same issues with the technique, and he's picked along good, so he gave it to me.
And remember, the Jags are asking fans to submit photos of local military members and first responders to be used as part of a halftime tribute on Sunday. Photos can be submitted through social media using the hashtag JagSalute or sent through email to entertainment@jaguars.com. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, you know, we're going through personnel right now. We'll meet Friday. You know, we have a plan going into the week of how we can use, you know, three or four different guys. So, you know, we'll meet on Friday, you know, as a staff and with Gus and Dave and figure out. But, you know, we do have a plan for Miles and some other guys also.
A little summer loving to end the show.
Apparently, yes, but apparently not willing to share any details of that plan. You know, we'll look at some things.
Well, from what Ryan said, I don't know how many details there are to share.
True.
Yeah, I mean, thank you, Tyler, for a little JT to end the show. yeah, it's, you know, they think he's making progress, but I compare it. Remember 2 years ago, Telvin Smith was sort of weaned into the lineup, and eventually maybe week six or seven.
Kind of took over.
Took over.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be that, because who would he take over for if these guys are playing well? So, I mean, you can say this about this team a lot recently, is they have the luxury of holding a guy back a little bit and let him improving. And that's what Dave Caldwell told us yesterday, is he's actually encouraged by the fact that they've made a second round pick and they don't need him to start right away.
Sure. And I think there is something to, you know, what you just said, and, you know, and maybe reading into it a little bit. Telvin did kind of work his way into the starting lineup. Miles Jack is a supremely talented athlete, mm-hmm. right? And if the idea is for this season that they're going to work him in somehow at that will package or whatever they're going to do with him in nickel, I do wonder if, you know, the first month of the season, how important a month is this for Telvin Smith, with Miles Jack getting more and more experience to try to hang on to that job, and how much could it potentially, after the first 4 or 5 weeks, become a split between those two guys?
I think it's critical for Telvin, because the last 2 years, ever since he's been a starter, he wasn't pushed. There wasn't anybody behind him that was better. Not saying that Miles Jack right now is better, but Telvin needs to, you know, keep making progress and making some of those big plays. I asked Dave Caldwell yesterday, what's the next step look like for Telvin? He said consistency. That means don't miss 16 tackles like you did last year.
Right. Don't miss the tackles. Don't bite on the quarterback looking you off in one direction and giving up big plays. Don't overrun plays trying to do too much.
Yeah, and ultimately, Telvin's work in coverage, if he doesn't improve that, then he will find himself off the field. He can't be giving up those kind of plays.
People brought this up, like, why are we trying to push Telvin off the starting lineup? We're not trying to do anything. People are like, oh, he's one of our best players. Look, he ultimately, Telvin Smith would have been probably about a third-round pick had he not had the test for marijuana at the combine. He's an undersized linebacker. He's a very good player. He's a good player. Miles Jack is an elite talent who would have been a top-five pick if there were no questions about his knee. He's healthy now, and I expect him to eventually play like a top-five talent. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll get to predictions here in a second, Tony. Two questions I wanted to ask you, because I thought of this, because Lauren Brooks, our former producer on Jaguars Today, was in our fantasy draft with us last night.
Yeah.
She and Blythe Brumley will be doing the pre-game show with you on Sunday. Question number one, is there an official name for the pre-game show?
It's the 1010XL kickoff powered by Sawyer Gas.
Okay, the 1010XL kickoff powered by Sawyer Gas. Now, the second and most important question.
Great name.
Will you be doing your own pre-recorded introduction to the 1010XL kickoff powered by Sawyer Gas?
I beg the powers that be to keep the opens we've had for the last couple of years for that, but unfortunately I was turned down.
Dirt. Really? Dirt.
So we're gonna have a more traditional open for the show.
Tony, this is Hacker. Huh? You want to use my openings from last year?
I asked.
Pretty awesome.
I did ask, but we're not gonna get the Hacker
man
back for the pregame.
They had a lot of replay value in these parts, over the years. They were as, you know, just they
now,
stood
he is there
on their
for
own
the fifth
merits.
Quarter, so maybe he'll switch the opens to the fifth quarter, like a post-game open.
I look forward to it. We can only hope.
That would be fun.
That would be good.
Yeah, we'll be Sunday mornings 8 to 10. We'll be at Tailgaters Parking, so if you get out here early enough to tailgate, come on out, say hello. We'll be out there for those 2 hours, and then Lauren and Blythe will continue their tailgating, and I'll come inside to continue
what are you
gonna Jaguars
do? Are you gonna,
radio coverage.
You think you're going to go with like a cardboard box to carry all the food you're going to bring me as you walk through all the tailgating?
We'll figure that out.
Go with a brown sack?
Well, as much as I got food last year, good luck, buddy.
All right. You know what? Good thing I'm on a diet. All right. Let's go around the divisions in the National Football League. Let's start in the NFC, shall we? NFC East champions in 2016, Ryan O'Halloran, are whom?
By the way, Mike, did you just shuffle one piece of paper?
I have two.
Two.
I have two. Tighten them up. They're all tight. They're ready to go.
Where are we starting? NFC?
We're starting NFC East. Who's your division champ?
Washington.
Washington for Ryan O'Halloran. Tony Smith.
I'm completely lost in the East, so I'll homer up with the Giants.
Homering up with the Giants. Tyler Davitt, who you got in the NFC East this year?
I'm going to go with the Skins. I think Kirk Cousins will finally be a winning team.
Tyler Davitt thought he snaked me on Kirk Cousins. I was over-invested on him last night.
They won
anyway.
The division last year.
I know
buddy.
They did.
That's
right.
When I'm finally lead a winning team. They won last
That's
year.
True. We'll overlook those.
Tyler.
I'm going to go with the New York
well,
Giants.
Kirk Cousins
as well.
Hasn't beat a winning quarterback or winning team yet, has he? All the teams he beat last year were all teams with losing records, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Throwing that right in your
it's
face,
It's a good thing
Tony.
He's playing in the East. They all had losing records.
I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North. What a shock right there. Tony Smith, who you got?
Well, the team that was going to push the Packers was Minnesota, and they may still have a chance to with Bradford coming in, but Green Bay is my pick.
Green Bay, Ryan O'Halloran.
Green Bay.
Green Bay, and clean sweep, Tyler?
Yep.
Clean sweep. All right, NFC South. We'll start with you, Tyler, this time. Who you got in the South?
Ooh. I don't know.
We're all falling into the trap. We're all going to get it.
He was waiting on our pick.
I heard the guys this morning. Right, I know. Like, who's in the South? I heard the guys this morning, Jeff, saying it's so difficult to get away from the playoff teams from last year. I'm finding the same thing.
Could be pretty
this
chalky.
Year. Come on, Tyler. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Saints. I don't know.
He's going to go with the New Orleans
Saints. He's
going to go with the Saints. All right. Ryan O'Halloran.
Carolina.
I'm going to go with Carolina as well,
oh
Tony.
My God. I honestly forgot Carolina was in the South.
We're going to go with the New Orleans Saints for Tyler.
I'm going to make the switch.
If you forget that the Panthers are in the division, you may select them as a wild card if you choose at this point in time. You're locked in on the Saints. Ryan, with the West, who you got?
I'm going to go with Arizona.
Arizona to win the division. Tony.
Arizona.
Arizona to win the division. I'm going to go with Seattle. To win the division, Tyler?
Seattle.
I didn't know if you needed to know any other teams that happen to be in the division.
I'm trying to write
wild
these down
cards.
While doing this.
I'm writing them down. Don't you worry about writing them down. You just worry about talking
Thank
now.
You.
Who you got for wild cards, Ryan O'Halloran, in the NFC?
I have Minnesota and Seattle.
Minnesota and Seattle for wild cards. Okay. Tony?
I will go Seattle and Minnesota, yeah.
Seattle and Minnesota. Tyler.
I'm going to go Arizona and Minnesota.
Arizona and Minnesota.
So has Carolina not making the playoffs.
He does have Carolina not making the playoffs.
Unfortunately
Because he boxed himself out with the Saints. And I heard Hicken say this morning, and I honestly was going to pick this anyway. I'm going to go with Arizona, but I'm also going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as my
wild card.
Little curveball in there. All right, let's go to the AFC. In the East, is Tom Brady's month-long absence enough to open the door for someone?
No, New England.
New England. Tony?
I took that bait last year, not this year.
Tyler?
No, they're going to win it again.
He's going to go with the Saints there. I'm kidding. I'm going to go with New England as well for the clean sweep. AFC North, I'll go with the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the division.
I'll go Cincinnati.
Cincinnati for Ryan. Tony?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. And Tyler?
I'm going to go with the Saints. The Bengals.
Nice. Cincinnati for you as well. And let's skip the South. Let's go to the West. I'll go Tony. Who you got?
Kansas City.
KC in the West. Ryan O'Halloran.
I'm going with Denver.
Denver in the West. Tyler.
I'm going to choose Denver as well.
Denver as well. And I as well am going to go with Kansas City. So there you have it. All right. AFC South division champions. Tyler Devitt, who you got?
The Jags.
You want me to refresh you on the teams? You got the Jags. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's got the Jags. All right. Jacksonville. Tony Smith.
I don't like it, but Houston.
Houston it is. Ryan O'Halloran.
Houston.
Houston it is, and I'm going to make it 3 out of 4 with the Houston Texans. Wild card selections, Ryan.
In the AFC, I have Kansas City and Pittsburgh.
Kansas City, KC, and Pittsburgh. So the Jags on the outside looking in. Tony, who you got?
Cincinnati, and I'll go Denver.
Denver for the last spot there. All right, Tyler, who you got in the wild card spots?
I'm going to go the Texans and the Buffalo Bills.
Houston and Buffalo. All right, Buffalo's a nice wild card in there. I am going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. You're damn right I'm homering up, baby. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars as the sixth seed in the NFL AFC playoffs. All right, will they make it to the Super Bowl is the question. I need your Super Bowl matchup, Ryan.
New England beats Green Bay.
New England over Green Bay. Tyler, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Broncos to get back there to face the Arizona Cardinals.
And who's going to win?
I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
We did not pick the winner last. We just picked the matchup for some reason. I don't know why. Arizona over Denver. Tony, who you got?
I like Arizona over Pittsburgh.
Arizona over Pittsburgh. A lot of people forgetting how bad Carson Palmer looked in the postseason last year. And then just to make sure I've got my prediction right, yes, I've got Seattle winning the Super Bowl over the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what I got for you right there. All right, so those are our predictions for the season. Tyler's got the Jags winning the division. I've got them grabbing a wild card. Tony and Ryan trying to be just hard-bitten journalists is what they are right now. All right, let's go to the question of the day. Some feedback today, Tony. What kind of record are people predicting for the Jags, and what bold predictions did you see?
Here's what we got from Kyle. 7-9, Miles Jack will be leading the team in tackles by the end of the season. That would be surprising. From Duval, we got 6-10, Bradley fired after week 8. From Jeff, 7-9, bold prediction is Gus is fired at year's end. Good riddance. From Amish Jaguar, record 9-7, bold prediction, Jags go 5-1 in the AFC South and 7-1 at home. Hashtag hold down the bank. That includes the London trip, obviously. From Alvaro, 10-6, that's my prediction. Or is it my wish? From Ocho Fisho, 8-7-1, we will have at least two 200-yard receiving games this year. From Johnny, 10-6, and the Jags sweep the South. From Blake Bortles, facts, 19-0. Blake Bortles only throws for 69 touchdowns this season. From Teal Rising, 10-6, bold prediction, pain. Hashtag for the other guys, and he sent the Mr. T pick in with
that. That's pretty cool.
Hashtag Rocky 3.
Yeah, from Irish Jaguar, 11-5, Yeldon will have more receiving touchdowns than rushing. From Demetrius, Jags go 9-7 and won't win the division, but sneaks in the playoffs as a 6 seed. Team signs Greg Hardy. From Andy, 8-8, and Jason Myers doesn't miss a single extra point. You're asking for a little much there, Andy. From Chris, 9-7, Julius will have 12 touchdowns this year. From Mary, 9-7, bold prediction, we beat the Packers, because why not? From Will, 10-6, and our field goal kicker gets cut. From Black Dog, after upsetting Packers, Jags rolled a 12-4 command home field into the playoffs, rematch with Green Bay in the Super Bowl, and Gus gets a 5-year contract. From Jarrell, 9-7, win the South and beat the Steelers in the wild card round again. And finally, from Chad, 9-7, all starting offensive skill positions make the Pro Bowl. He even added the ha-ha. That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll get to some of these Facebook predictions tomorrow because there's some good ones on here. We don't have time to get into all of them. I just wanted to ask Ryan one last question. Since at one point this offseason you advocated the Jags trading away not only a first-rounder this year but a first-rounder next year for Josh Norman, would you trade Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack right now for Josh Norman?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Really? All right. Well, that'll stir it up on Twitter. At Ryan O'Halloran on the tweets.
You want to hear my bold prediction?
Oh, what is your bold prediction?
Blake Bortles will throw 40 touchdowns this year.
40. My prediction, I don't know how bold this is that TJ Yeldon will have more yardage than Chris Ivory does this year.
That is bold. I like it.
Okay. And that's combined, though. Passing, receiving, and rushing combined. Tony, what do you got?
I'll say the Leo position, whether that's Fowler or Yannick Ngakoue, whoever the heck it is out there, is going to combine for 15 sacks this
15
year.
Between those two guys?
Yeah.
Okay, 15 sacks between the rookie pass rushers. Tyler, bold prediction, what do you got?
I'm not sure how bold this is, but I think Miles Jack will be a starting linebacker by the end of the season.
All right, and I thought he would go with the NFL realigned Saints now in the AFC South. Not the case, however. All right, there he goes. He is the best producer currently producing this program, Tyler Devitt, ladies and gentlemen. And you did not snake me on Kirk Cousins last night. I know you probably thought you did.
I tried.
I was going Derek Carr the whole way in that particular one. I'm over-invested in Kirk Cousins. I probably own him in more leagues than any other one. 15 leagues. Still time to get in at FanDuel.com/Mike. You got until Sunday. It doesn't matter if you get in by kickoff tonight. Only Sunday games are included in our contest. That'll do it for us today. Thanks to Tyler and Joe Fortunato. Thanks to the Jags for sinking some money into the brand new Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. It looks fantastic in here. Thanks to Ryan O'Halloran. What do you got coming up?
Tomorrow, Devon House story. Saturday, we have pass rushers need to be disciplined against Aaron Rodgers. Sunday, we have a bunch of stuff led with an overview of the defense. Can they go from 28 points a game allowed down to 20? That means they have a 65% chance of making the playoffs.
All right, there you go. Ryan O'Halloran just broke it all down beyond scientific. Thanks to Fat Tony, who is going to join me now, heading back over to the station. We're going to record our Fantasy Forecast podcast,
yep,
driven by National Truck Driver School, our new sponsor there. Check it out every Tuesday and Thursday. It's available at 1010XL.com. Doesn't cost you a penny. We'll give you lineup advice and what have you as we head into the weekend. Again, driven by National Truck Driver School. That does it for us today on this Thursday here. Game day for the Broncos and the Panthers getting ever closer to packing the bank out on Sunday. Can't wait to see all of you there. That does it. Jaguars today done. We'll say hello to the guys in the Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.
It's a Farrah and Farrah Thursday on Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, week one of the NFL season is upon us. FanDuel.com. I've been waiting for it to come back. I'm not a big fantasy baseball or basketball player, but boy, when football season is here, do I ever dive in. I have 15 head-to-head leagues, but it's just not enough for me. I love having as many lineups to track every week as possible. And with FanDuel, I can do that, and I can do it really inexpensively. I can get in leagues for as little as a single dollar. They've got pricing for all budgets. They've got an upgraded experience this year. Beginner contest for new players only. You can settle a score with a friend in a head-to-head. Try a 50-50. Where the top half of the field wins cash. It's all out there for you on FanDuel. And here's a great deal. If you go to FanDuel.com and you're signing up for the first time, use my promo code Mike, my first name, M-I-K-E, and with this offer for new users, you'll get 5 free entries to NFL Beginner Contest, 1 free entry a week, the first 5 weeks of the season. These are 50-50s, beat the bottom half of the field, you're going to win cash. Use my code Mike for 5 free entries and play in our listener league at FanDuel.com/Mike. Remember that promo code Mike at FanDuel.com.